Welcome. My name is Rich Brosita. I write at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com, and I produce a podcast called Bible Study for Progressives. This is a special election edition show entitled, It's About Identity, Stupid. Why Third Parties Are a Ruse and Hillary Clinton is Not Evil. Let's begin. Bill Clinton, running for president in 1992, quipped, It's the economy, stupid. It became the theme of his campaign. We were coming out of a recession then. Today, we are in a long-running recovery. This election is different. When over 95% of African Americans and 70% of Hispanics have an unfavorable view of Donald Trump, while 89% of those who have a favorable opinion of him are white, race is the issue. When we see the rise of Black Lives Matter, confusion about whether all lives matter, and the creation of groups like White Lives Matter and even Blue Lives Matter, we know color is in question. When one candidate won over 75% of the black vote during her primary election, while the other said Mexican immigrants are criminals and rapists, called for a ban on Muslims, and described Black Lives Matter protesters as thugs, we know America is facing an identity crisis. When Donald Trump says he plans to build a wall, we should believe him. When he says he wants to deport 11 million people, we should believe him. When he says he wants to ban all Muslims and impose extreme vetting, we should believe him. When he says he wants to torture prisoners of war, we should believe him. When he says he wants to kill the families of terrorists, we should believe him. When he says his policies haven't changed, we should believe him. Donald Trump is the dog whistle king. When he promises to be a law and order president, he's really promising to crack down on Black Lives Matter protesters. When he calls his policy towards Muslim immigrants extreme vetting, he really means that he plans to ban Muslims. When he says he's going to deport illegal immigrants with criminal records first, and that the others must leave the country and reapply to return, he is saying he plans to deport 11 million people. When Trump says he wants to be the law and order president, in the context of the killing of 6 police officers in Dallas, Texas, we should understand that he's promising to crack down on Black Lives Matter protesters. When he said that President Obama was a Muslim born in Kenya and not a citizen of the United States, we should recognize he's saying that black men and Muslims should not be president. When he says, without citing medical evidence, that Hillary Clinton doesn't have the strength and stamina to be president, he's implying that a woman cannot lead this nation. What about Hillary Clinton? She is not the victim of her own words in the way that Donald Trump is a victim of his. Mostly, she is accused of unlawful or unethical conduct. The common view is that she's untrustworthy. A closer look at the facts may give us a more accurate view. The first fact we should consider is that both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are human beings. They are not the caricatures that the campaigns and the media often make them seem. Donald Trump is not a fascist, at least not yet. Hillary Clinton isn't a warmonger, though she is hawkish for a Democrat. After serving as Secretary of State, it's safe to assume she has a more nuisance perspective on international relations. I say, give a woman a chance to run the country for once. Donald Trump has already threatened to bomb the shit out of ISIS, torture prisoners of war, and kill the families of suspected terrorists. These are things Hillary Clinton wouldn't dream of saying. Hillary Clinton is certainly tough. She stood up to the Benghazi Committee and held her own. She served this nation for 24 years as First Lady, Senator, and Secretary of State. She is one of the most well-qualified candidates to ever run for president. The feminist mayor of Ottawa, Charlotte Whitton, famously said that whatever women do, they must do twice as well as men to be thought half as good. She was right. Hillary Clinton has handled international negotiations, advised two presidents, and has led the State Department. She is one of the most experienced presidential candidates ever to run for the office. With that experience, however, comes a record. She has made mistakes. We all do. Clinton is under intense scrutiny from both her opponents and the media. Things have come up, but so far, nothing has been found to be unlawful or even unethical under current legal standards. She has been in public service for much of her life and has never crossed the line. She has made mistakes, but none have proven fatal. From Whitewater and Vince Foster's death to Benghazi, her email server, and the billions of dollars the United States paid to Iran. All of the accusations against Hillary Clinton have been proven to be exaggerated, misleading, or false. There's insufficient evidence to say that Hillary Clinton is a criminal. There is a difference between the allegations against Clinton and the things Donald Trump says. The allegations against Hillary Clinton involve mere accusations against her. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is exposed by his own words and policies. His own speeches, promises, and policies condemn him. Hillary Clinton has successfully navigated our current political system, which requires candidates to raise millions of dollars to run for office. We've had issues with our campaign finance system long before Clinton. Likewise, we've had a problem with United States interventions in foreign countries long before Clinton. We are not going to solve these problems in any one election. It's important to recognize that the election isn't the end of the struggle. Instead, it's just the beginning. After the election comes the first 100 days. We need a Democratic Senate to get a liberal Supreme Court justice, which will be the first task of a Clinton administration. The next Supreme Court justice will determine the direction of the nation, from protecting voting rights and enacting campaign finance reform to immigration reform, health care, and protecting a woman's right to choose. The next Supreme Court justice will determine the direction of the court for years to come. With Hillary Clinton, we know we will get a more liberal nominee. We can be sure that a Clinton administration will work to protect President Obama's legacy, the Affordable Care Act, which has provided health insurance to millions of needy Americans. Hillary has a plan to deal with police violence and has the support of the African American community. Donald Trump, on the other hand, says he would begin a program of stop and frisk. The primary election demonstrated that Hillary Clinton was the choice of African Americans throughout the South, especially older members of the community. Congressman John Lewis, in his speech at the Democratic National Convention, began with a warning. There are forces in America that want to take us backwards. They want to undo 50 years of progress this nation has made under Democratic leadership. We've come too far. We've made too much progress, and we're not going back. We're going forward. That's why we all must go to the polls in November and vote like we never, ever voted before. While many people are suspicious of Hillary Clinton, we know where she stands on the issues. Hillary Clinton's immigration reform plan contains a pathway to citizenship. She plans to make college debt-free and to expand early childhood education. Among other things, she has promised to make corporations and the rich pay their fair share of taxes, protect Social Security and Medicare, protect women's disability and LGBT rights, prevent gun violence and expand mental health treatment, enact campaign finance reform, combat climate change, and pursue paid family and medical leave. A quick look at her website gives one a good idea of her agenda. The problem with Hillary Clinton is that she is an establishment candidate. We weren't able to change that this election, and she made matters worse by failing to select Bernie Sanders as her running mate. She had an opportunity to unify the party and attract independent Sanders supporters, but she blew that opportunity by selecting a corporate-approved ex-Republican as her vice president instead. On the other hand, the accusation that Hillary Clinton participates in pay-to-play activities is unfair. Our entire political system operates on a pay-to-play basis. Our system is corrupt. Bernie Sanders has already pointed that out. Even Donald Trump has said the elections are rigged. We are not going to change this with one election. This is Hillary Clinton's election to lose. The only reason she's still leading is because her opponent is wildly unpopular. If she loses, it's her own fault. Hillary thinks she's going to shift to the right to get moderate Republican votes. People have watched her turn to the right with her speech on American exceptionalism and her outreach to Republican voters, and no one likes it. Republicans hate her. Independents are anti-establishment voters, and Democrats are unenthusiastic about her candidacy. Hillary can't seem to create a compelling narrative other than talking about how bad Trump is. She's feeding the narrative that she is the lesser evil. She should spend some time communicating her vision for the nation. Donald Trump is a part of something larger sweeping the world. The rise of nationalism and xenophobia is being fueled by the refugee crisis, mass migration, and large demographic shifts. These forces are impacting the United States as well. Nearly 59 million people have immigrated to the United States in the last 50 years, mostly from Asia and Latin America. The Pew Research Center has predicted that by 2055, the United States would no longer be a white majority nation. This year's electorate is expected to be the most diverse ever, though 69% of voters will still be white. Brexit. The newly elected president of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte, and the backlash against the pro-democracy protest of the Arab Spring are all part of the rise of authoritarianism. The failure of the Arab Spring to produce democratic reforms has led to the refugee crisis and fears of terrorism across Europe and in the United States. Fearful people often look to strongmen to establish law and order. Enter Donald Trump. He's bombastic. He's loud. He's crude. He's willing to say things that get people riled up against immigrants and foreigners and whoever else he blames for America's problems. It's not about what Donald Trump intends by his statements, though his intentions are questionable. The fact that he's willing to even imply racist and sexist things by innuendo is enough to disqualify him from public office. He doesn't have the moral character to be president. Americans are faced with a choice between a ranting bigot willing to say and promise anything to get elected, and an establishment candidate beholden to big money like almost every other candidate running for office. Hillary Clinton is strong enough to be her own woman and to resist some of the pressures of our corrupt political system. She is a formidable administrator who can get things done. The truth about Hillary Clinton is that she is an ambitious woman. She cares about her legacy. She wants to be the first female president of the United States. In many areas, Hillary Clinton has pursued a progressive agenda, including universal health care. She won the support of the African American community throughout the South and is sure to support the rights of minorities, especially women. As with anyone, we may not agree with her on everything, but as a human being with her resume, she makes a good presidential candidate. Third-party candidates tell us that the Democrats and Republicans are the same. But nothing could be further from the truth. There are significant differences, as I have described. We must take these differences seriously. The country is divided. People are unhappy with both candidates. In this environment, third-party candidates have been given serious consideration by voters and the media. The more Americans see of these third-party candidates, the less impressed they have been. Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, rose to 12% in national polls, but has since fallen into the single digits. He is the only candidate to support the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement. Economic inequality would increase under his administration. Jill Stein and her running mate, Ajamu Baraka, the Green Party candidates, haven't risen above the low single digits. They have been unimpressive during media interviews. Stein is too easily tied to extremist views, such as the anti-vaccination movement. And Baraka has had to answer for many of his shrill comments in the past, including calling President Obama an Uncle Tom. Third-party candidates argue that we have a choice between voting our conscience or voting strategically. That is, voting for the lesser evil versus for someone we actually support. The problem with their argument is that voting one's conscience becomes unconscionable when one actually considers the result. Voting for one's personal messiah, even if it means that the worst possible candidate ends up winning, is not something conscientious people do. The other problem with this approach, of course, is the assumption that people actually like the third-party candidates running for office, an assumption that is proven false. Ultimately, third-party candidates rail against the two-party system. But the two-party system is not the problem. The two-party system is merely the natural result of representative democracy with winner-take-all elections. The two-party system is the way we ensure majority rule. This nation has never had a multi-party democracy. In fact, if there is a third-party candidate in the race, that candidate is screwing up. Third-party candidates undercut their own agenda by taking votes away from the candidate most similar to them, and thereby allowing the worst candidate to win. In winner-take-all elections, we have to win the most votes. We can't afford to split our vote. The result is that two parties rise to prominence because the correct strategy in winner-take-all elections is for voters to coalesce around one or the other candidate. Even in parliamentary systems where multiple parties are possible, parties create coalitions. When electing an executive, such as the prime minister, the process results in two opposing coalitions. This is the result of playing the game of politics. Game theory dictates that there be only two major candidates. The casualty of a third-party candidacy is majority rule. With multiple candidates, only a minority of votes are needed to win. In order to get a liberal candidate, we need to coalesce around one candidate and not split the vote. Third parties simply aren't viable. I'm a member of Progressive Democrats of America, the PAC that brought you Bernie Sanders. I believe that the best way to effect change is to work within the Democratic Party. If you really want to talk about failed strategies, let's talk about third parties. Third parties are good for raising issues, but not for electing candidates. Ultimately, they are self-destructive. Liberal third parties, for example, see as their competition the other liberal party, not the far-right conservative one. So in the United States, they go about hoping for the demise of the Democratic Party, which results in the rise of the Republicans and the rightward drift of the country. Should we vote strategically? making sure that Donald Trump doesn't get elected? Or should we vote our conscience regardless of the result? Is Hillary Clinton a dishonest corporate shrill and warmonger who is only a little better than Donald Trump? Are third-party candidates really a viable option? In this election, it is vital to make the right decision, because another dose of supply-side economics and deregulation is likely to lead to another financial crisis from which we may not be able to bail ourselves out. Bitter racial division and political polarization threaten to tear us apart. The threats of climate change, terrorism, and economic inequality are killing people and destroying our world. I'm not exaggerating to say that this may be our last chance to take this country back and put it on the right track. Citizens United has all but handed the nation over to the corporations and the rich. We must use our vote wisely, because the further we go down the wrong road, the harder it will be to turn things around. Ever since my college years, I have been dismayed by the divisiveness on the left. Socialists seem more interested in extolling the virtues of communist regimes than in enacting legislation. Revolutionaries hope to overthrow the government and poo-poo progressive reforms. Third-party people preach that the Democrats and Republicans are the same, despite the obvious differences. It's better to lose to the far right than to support the Democrats, some leftists and third-party people say. Only when things get unbearable will people finally rise up, they argue. Their logic is that we win by losing. The result, of course, is the worst possible outcome. Progressives lose. The far right gains power and influence. The progressive agenda is set back years, and the nation moves to the right. The uprising revolutionaries promised never materializes, and the American people become poorer, less safe, and less free. For example, if Al Gore had been elected rather than George Bush, we would have seen progress on the environment and other progressive causes. Instead, we empowered climate change deniers, got into an illegitimate war in Iraq, and ended up with the Great Recession. Had Ralph Nader not taken crucial votes from Al Gore, we would not be where we are today. Oppression and inequality doesn't necessarily lead people to rise up. There are plenty of countries around the world where oppression and injustice is much worse than here. There are even countries where governments bomb their own citizens and slaughter their own people just because they came out and demanded freedom. There's no guarantee people will rise up in the face of a Trump presidency, and no guarantee they will succeed if they do. Even if toppling the government is our goal, we have no guarantee that what we will get will be better. Social uprisings have toppled some governments, but they have not been any more successful in transitioning to stable democracies than have interventions. The exception to the rule is Tunisia, the country where the Arab Spring began. The most hopeful transition underway today is the United Nations intervention in Libya. In Syria, the hope for democracy has been crushed, the population slaughtered, and the country destroyed. Egypt is under a military dictatorship, and Saudi Arabia has put down the revolution in Bahrain and is bombing Yemen despite huge protest. even if leftists could overthrow the United States government, they couldn't guarantee anything but chaos. Even if leftists could overthrow the United States government, should they? To overthrow a government is an extreme course of action. We would need to have a strong reason for doing so. A popular sentiment among many progressives and independents is that we don't have a true democracy. They point out how money actually determines the outcome of many elections. And no matter who you elect, they end up serving the corporate overlords who financed their campaigns. As both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump say, the system is rigged. Only corporate-approved candidates can win. Corporations and the rich do contribute large sums of money to political campaigns. Many corporations give to both sides in order to cover their bases. There can be no doubt that this situation influences our elections and our nation's domestic and foreign policy. Money has a corrosive influence on our political system, but it does not mean that we have no measure of democracy. We still have the right to vote, and those votes are generally fairly counted. No one is really arguing that our votes aren't counted. Money doesn't always change the outcome of elections. The very fact that Donald Trump can be the Republican nominee for President of the United States is evidence that we still have some measure of democracy, at least within the Republican primary. The Republican establishment doesn't want Donald Trump, yet they are honoring the results of the election. Bernie Sanders has a stronger argument that the Democratic Party's primary system, with its 712 superdelegates, a third of all the available delegates, is undemocratic. The superdelegates can frustrate the will of the voters by throwing their weight behind one candidate. In this case, this meant that Clinton had amassed a huge lead before even one vote had been cast. The undemocratic primary process in the Democratic Party must be changed. In the general election, however, the votes will be counted. The election will be transparent and fair in accordance with international standards. Despite Donald Trump's protestations, there will be no large-scale cases of fraud or irregularities that change the outcome. So given all the arguments for voting for third parties or not voting at all, none are sufficient to justify handing the country over to Donald Trump and the Republicans. Of all the candidates to seek the presidency throughout history, few have had the qualifications and experience that Hillary Clinton has. We can rest assured that she will move this country to the left, even if she doesn't go as far as we would like. Ultimately, as Bernie Sanders has said, no one person, not even the president, is capable of advancing progressive change all by herself. What we need is a revolution. What we need is a mass movement of people demanding change. Hillary Clinton is not evil. She's an ambitious, competent, and successful public servant. She understands the system and has been successful in navigating it. That's not a fault. Instead, it's a strength. She will be able to get things done, and she will likely be a firm and steady hand as head of state. She served this nation for 24 years. She has the experience and the ability to be commander in chief. It's time to let a woman lead for a change. If progressives lose this opportunity to elect our first female president, they will have only themselves to blame. With the Supreme Court hanging in the balance, and in a time of great importance for race relations in America, we must not abandon the African Americans, Muslims, Latinos, and other minorities who support Hillary Clinton. Progressives cannot afford to miss this opportunity to elect the first female president who is also a liberal, is hated by the far right, and has promised to pursue important progressive reforms. Young people, especially young people of color, should remember that the people who are voting for Hillary Clinton are their parents. While Hillary Clinton may not be a perfect candidate, she is someone we must all get behind if we are to move the country to the left and stem the tide of racism, nationalism, and xenophobia sweeping the world today. We may even get some progressive change along the way. This has been Rich Procida. You can find my other podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, and at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening, and remember to vote.